Okay, Patrick, it is almost the new year. This
is
New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Right now.
I know.
We got big plans for tonight, so we have a short amount of time here. But basically what we're going to do this whole week is present some greatest hits from
Why
the past
not?
Year.
Sure.
So if you missed these episodes, these are the ones that we think you really should hear. Gives you a good sense of some of the highlights, I guess, from 2018 of Rock in the Suburbs. And we are going to kick it off with...
We're going to kick it off with our famous interview with Tim Kaine.
Tim Kaine. Yeah. Senator Tim Kaine. It's isn't that often, I think, that you hear a sitting senator talk about his music fandom on a music podcast.
Pretty amazing vice presidential candidate in a key election in American history as well.
And he actually knows his stuff.
Oh, yeah.
As you're going to hear here.
Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we talk with a big music fan.
Yeah, that's cool. We do that all the time.
No, but this is different. When I say big, I mean this person holds a position of real power.
Oh, you mean like a record store clerk?
Bigger than that.
I don't get it. What's bigger than a record store clerk?
All right, Patrick, you ready for this?
I am. It's epic.
Are you?
Yeah, it's epic.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't throw that word around lightly.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned yesterday that this has to be about the most powerful person we've ever had on the podcast.
Yeah.
More powerful than Matthew Sweet.
Yeah, but, I think he is more powerful than Matthew Sweet. Yes. Yeah.
All right. We have a special guest today on Rock in the Suburbs.
Yeah.
I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And about a month ago, we were fortunate enough to visit the congressional office, the senatorial office of Senator Tim Kaine.
Isn't this amazing?
Of Virginia.
Mm-hmm. We were there. I was wearing a tie.
You were?
I was.
I wore. It was the one tie that you own,
yeah,
I believe.
It's my one tie.
I made sure that you did that.
Yep.
So we wouldn't get kicked out.
That's right.
And... the reason this came about, how this all came about.
Yeah, tell us that part.
So, first of all, I want to let listeners know that Tim Kaine is a big music fan.
He really is.
And for those who don't really follow politics, you probably at least know Tim Kaine because he was Hillary Clinton's running mate in the presidential election of 2016.
2016.
Senator from Virginia. And I met him, coincidentally, last fall at a concert at the Birchmere in Alexandria, Virginia. I went to see the double bill was the headliner was Psychedelic Furs, but the opener was Bash and Pop, which of course is Tommy Stinson's band. Tommy Stinson being most famous for being a founding member of The Replacements.
Right. And also appearing on Rock in the Suburbs.
We interviewed him once well.
Mm-hmm.
When he
are his two main claims.
When he brought Bash and Pop around to DC. Earlier than that.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway. I had read during the 2016 presidential campaign that Tim Kaine was a Replacements fan.
Yep.
He let that out in some interview and it sort of made the rounds. And if you were a music fan and followed music media, that was something that was reported on. And it was like, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
He's like, when do you ever hear about that?
Right.
So who would know? So I'm at the Bash and Pop show. Bash and Pop is playing the show with Dan Gursky, our friend Dan Gursky.
Yep, we heard from
last
week.
With my wife, Katie.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan taps me on the shoulder at one point and says, that's Tim Kaine right there in the crowd, like just standing there in the crowd, right? And he was just, you know, watching the show. And I want to say it was probably then, it must have been between, during the set break, right?
Mm-hmm.
That people went up and started to approach him.
Right.
And my wife, Katie, went up like right away and was like, oh, I want to get a picture and all that stuff. And so, I just said to him, I didn't want to bug him that much, but I just said to him, you know, I do this music podcast and I showed it to him on my phone. And I said, you know, if you'd like to come on and talk about music, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, it'd be incredible.
And he said, I would love to do that. And he brought over his an assistant that was with him.
Yeah.
And that guy took down the information, the contact information, and then we sort of had a lot of back and forth.
We did.
And it took several months to get this set up because...
apparently he's pretty busy.
The senator's a busy man.
Yeah.
And,
he's
you know,
things
he,
to
you
do.
Know, to even get basically 15 minutes, which we got to just sort of sit and talk about music, was hard to get schedule. Yeah. But we finally did. We
persevered.
And we went to his office at the Senate building right there on Capitol Hill.
Yep.
And it was a great time, wasn't it?
It was really amazing. I was surprised I was allowed in, but I was.
And there's some various mementos he has regarding music. So let's just set this up a little bit. He not only is a big Replacements fan, but because he had said that in 2016, he ended up forming a friendship with Tommy Stinson.
He did, right.
Word got to Tommy, and then Tommy...
Through Tim's son, I believe, right? He was kind of the intermediary between the two.
Who lives in Minneapolis.
Right, uh-huh.
And he... Tommy came to learn that Tim Kaine plays the harmonica, which he does. It's just something he picked up when he told us he was in like seventh grade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And wanted to start to play an instrument. Like, you know, his classmates and stuff were, maybe playing guitars and stuff like that. And he was like, what can I play? And he picked up the harmonica and self-taught.
Yeah. He talked about walking around his neighborhood, just learning how to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Tommy learns this and starts... you know, inviting Tim Kaine to like play.
Yeah. He's like, actually
with
gotten
him.
Up
he's
and
gotten up and played with Bash amazing. And Pop.
Yeah.
Now he didn't on the show I saw, he didn't get up on stage
no.
and mm-mm. play. He just, you know, watched the band.
Right.
But he has done that at other times.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
So that's kind of an amazing thing. You just
it really is.
You do not think of this from senators.
No.
You just don't. So anyway, so we sat down, we did the interview and we're gonna play that for you.
It's wonderful. And
now.
Yeah, it's just listen up.
All right. Senator Tim Kaine. You mentioned you got into the Replacements early on in their career. What was it that attracted you to their music?
That's a really good question. I mean, having an album named Tim, that didn't hurt.
No.
they were Midwestern. They kind of combined, joyful noise. And I mean, with an emphasis on the noise with, I think just very, very astute lyrics. I mean, so you think about a song like Bastards of Young, the ones who love us best are the ones we'll lay to rest, visit their graves on holidays at best. The ones who love us least are the ones we'll die to please. If it's any consolation, I don't begin to understand. That lyric is a very, very savvy lyric.
Yeah.
And they have many, many lyrics like that. How young are you? How old am I? Count the rings around my eyes. You know, making fun about how you can count a tree by the rings around them. So they have so many fantastic lyrics. And I think the noise... plus the astute, I really call them kind of astute psychological insights in Westerberg's lyrics. I really liked them. And, it's funny, I was born in St. Paul, so maybe that was another reason why I kind of liked these guys. And then to have a boy who went to Carleton, moved to South Minneapolis, lives about a mile from the iconic house where it was the Stinson's house where they were, filmed sitting on the roof of the second floor over the front porch for the Let It Be album cover that he, first time I went to see him in his new apartment, he goes, Dad, I got to take you to see this and driving by the house. He goes, what do you think that house is? And I think they'd painted it, but I could figure out. I said, I think I know what this house is. So, I think a whole lot of things. A lot of things that really attracted me to their music. It's pretty awesome.
What music did you listen to growing up? I mean, what was your house like when you were a kid and what did you get into?
I'm 1958. So I remember the first time I heard I Want to Hold Your Hand on the radio. I mean, I loved the Beatles. So growing up, I would say as a kid, in our neighborhood and then into my Catholic high school, I would say there were Beatles fans, there were Stones fans, and there were Who fans. And I was in the Who camp, was the smallest of the camps.
Yeah.
But I definitely was in the Who camp. I love the Beatles, love the Stones, and maybe love them now more than I did then, but I still am a Who fanatic. So that would have been kind of the kind of music I really liked. But I will give a really good friend of mine, Pete Brown, if you're listening, Pete, I've said this to him before. In the middle of the way through high school, Pete was a guitar player. And again, if you don't have money for entertainment, we'll just bring instruments over and we'll sit around playing music. And Pete started to play Doc Watson albums. And Doc Watson has been a lifelong, just fast. I was listening to my Doc Watson Pandora channel this morning, but I was first time I'd heard any kind of flat picking acoustic bluegrass style music. Of course, Doc Watson is not only a fantastic flat picker, but superb singer, great harmonica player, performs tons of songs in every genre. I mean, not just bluegrass, but gospel, soul, blues, can do it all.
Was in the spring, one sunny day, my sweetheart left me, Lord, she went away, and now she's gone, and I don't weary, Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world. She called me up from down in El Paso, she said, come back, Daddy.
And we formed this little band. I was, you know, mentioned the Tennessee Valley Authority, we called it, and performed at little talent shows stuff. Pete was a good guitar player. I played the harp and sang lead. We had one complete sleeper who was a guy in my class who was a fantastic concert pianist and violinist.
Really?
But he could pretend to be, you know, country bluegrass player too. And he made us sound a lot better than we were. So my music really started to expand. And then eventually into jazz and living in Latin America, Latin music.
Right.
New country, I've had probably the one kind of music that I've had the hardest time waking up to, but I'm fanatically devoted to bluegrass, mountain, and old country, like Hank Williams style.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So moving to Virginia must have been perfect for you, right?
It was. I mean, you know, it's funny. Again, my Virginia playing was just limited from I moved here in 84 till really I was running for governor 2005. So, you know, working, kids. The only time I would ever play is in my church, and I go to a Catholic church that is heavily African-American, and where the choir is a little bit more like a Baptist choir. So we would, you know, we will do old timey, you know, Old Rugged Cross, you know, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, things like that. But we also will do new gospel music. Like, I don't know if you guys know Erica Campbell, a song like I Need Just a Little More Jesus. She's an LA based, fantastic contemporary gospel singer. And so that was kind of in the gospel mode for a long time. But when Ann and I were at the Galax Fiddlers Convention when I was running for governor, which is a favorite event of mine, she started to clog, and there were camera crews there. And she's pretty good, flat footer. And then she said, well, you got to make a fool of yourself. And I said, well, anybody have a harmonica? They're looking at me as the city slicker, and I've been the mayor of Richmond and all that. And I'm like, well, yeah, okay, so here's a harmonica. And they said, well, what should we play? I said, you know, you gave me the key, just play anything in that key, preferably by the Carter Family, but anything else. And they started playing Will the Circle Be Unbroken.
Oh,
and
wow,
that was my real introduction to the Virginia music scene. But now over the years, because as you guys know, I mean, there's music festivals everywhere. I've played.
Oh, yeah.
I've played with so many fantastic musicians, and it's always a blast.
Yeah. Now, there's been a real explosion of talent in Richmond over the past 4 or 5 years.
Absolutely.
Lucy Dacus and many, many bands are forming there. We actually met a group that moved to Richmond because the scene was so good.
Oh, is that
good.
Right? Yeah. Wow. Well, Lucy was a friend of my daughter's. My daughter is a happily struggling young actress in New York City, and Anella and Lucy were in the same kind of kids' arts programs, and, you know, Lucy would be over sleepovers at our place, or Anella at the Dacus family. But, you know, when I was on the ticket with Hillary, I serenaded Ellen one day on the Ellen Show, and she had a musical guest. Well, who was the guest? Heart and Soul. I hadn't heard him. I said, where are you guys from? Well, we're from Oregon Hill in Richmond.
Right.
I was on the Colbert Show one night when I was on the ticket. They had a musical guest. Now I'm blanking on their name. I was like, where are you guys from? Well, we're from Leesburg. And this was just like complete coincidence. So I do think the Virginia music scene, you know, I mean, you got, you know, Carter's and Patsy Cline, but Missy Misdemeanor Elliott.
Right.
D'Angelo.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about amazing talent. I mean, he's from Chesterfield, right outside Richmond. So we've got a really great, you know, great, very diverse group of contemporary musicians.
Yeah. Richmond is such a great place now with the students' population and, you know, all the places to play. And it's incredible. I have my middle child went to VCU and Jim's daughter's going there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Okay. And there's so many house shows you can go to and there's like great record stores down there now. It's just awesome.
Yeah. The little band that I probably play with the most is a group called the Cary Street Ramblers, which are a mountain music band that Tripp, the head guy, was a jazz professor at William & Mary and decided, well, you know, maybe I should learn the music of Virginia. And he kind of took this turn from jazz into mountain or old time music, which, you know, real similar to bluegrass.
Yep.
It de-emphasizes solos. It's more for dancing. But they're just that scene, the traditional music scene, is just really cool. And then you got iconic groups like Gwar, you know, which people know all over the country and all over the world. Right. And, you know, so it's a good town.
It really is. It's amazing.
How do you rate among the Senate in terms of your music fandom?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. I'll tell you, I know less about who's a fan as to who is a musician. So Debbie Stabenow, Debbie grew up with a dad who was a jazz sax player, and Debbie's center for Michigan, and her dad taught her and her siblings to play boogie-woogie scales on the piano so he could practice by. So actually, Debbie's a pretty good boogie-woogie piano player and also worked her way through college in a band called Dale and Debbie, where she played an acoustic guitar and sang.
Really?
She's got a nice voice and can play music. Heidi Heitkamp has, in North Dakota, absolutely beautiful voice. Lamar Alexander. So I'll say my friend Lamar, very good keyboard player from an early age. And I put a really tough Senate challenge on him. You know, most people bet something over a bowl game, and I've done that too, but I challenged Lamar. I said, look, Bristol Rhythm and Roots might be the best music festival in Virginia. There's a lot of competition, you know, between Floyd Fest and the Richmond Folk Festival. But anyway, Bristol Rhythm and Roots is right on the state line.
Yeah.
State Street, you know, is the dividing line between Virginia and Tennessee, and the main stage they set up across State Street. So I told Lamar, I said, look, this thing, weekend after Labor Day, every year, fantastic 3-day show. You and I had to work up a set. And over the course of the 3-day weekend, they'll let us play. And he goes, all right, I'll take that challenge. Well, not only did they let us play, they made us come up with a name for our band. We had to be in the program. I thought they were going to put us in one of the side venues. Like they put up a stage in a little Chinese restaurant on State Street, and that's like one of the venues. No, they put us on the main stage to kick off the whole show.
That's funny.
And we worked up a 5-song set.
That's
and
great. Did they make him stay on the Tennessee side and you stayed on the Virginia side?
We did. We were very careful about where we stood.
That's
I recruited
beautiful.
Some backup musicians to make us sound better than we were, but we had a lot of fun.
That's awesome. What did you name the group?
Well, I'll tell you, this is a good story. So I said, Lamar, we got to have a name. And he said, Tim, I tell you what, you think of 4 possibilities that you like, then I'll pick the name. I said, okay, that's fair. I thought, so I gave him Capitol Hillbillies. That wasn't bad.
Not bad.
No, I didn't want that. I gave him Bluegrass Roots.
I like that.
I mean, that's not bad.
No.
Grassroots, Bluegrass.
Yeah.
No, he didn't like that. My favorite was Two System Party, which he didn't like. But my last one was The Amateurs. And he said, now that's the one
that's
we're picking.
What we're going
I said, why are we going with The Amateurs? He goes, you got to set expectations, right? So we were The Amateurs, and we had a great time.
If you couldn't live up to that name.
Yeah, right. We set it. We set it just right.
Okay, so one last thing. I'm told you always have a harmonica handy, right?
I do.
Can you play something for us real quick?
I can give it a try.
All right.
I can give it a try. So here, hold on a second.
Okay.
Now, I also see the senator's iPod over there. So he's going to root around. Oh, he's got a bag of harmonicas, too.
I have a pencil case filled with harmonicas.
That's beautiful. What key would you like, Jim?
All right, so there's about, what, 8 harmonicas came out of this bag.
Now, I want to try to actually do one that has got a Virginia theme that I might be able to sing a little bit
to
as
amazing.
Well. Can I sing in that key? My home's across the Blue Ridge Mountains. My home's across the Blue Ridge Mountains, and I never expect to see you anymore. So there's a little bit of a sample, you know?
Yes.
Beautiful. That's an old-timey song about a soldier from, you know, from Appalachia who was down fighting in the Flatland during the Civil War and is not expecting to ever return.
So, his
home.
I know you have to run. You have nation's business to take care of. But
can you delay this a little longer so I do not have to go back
certainly.
To the, taking care of the nation's business?
But thank you very much, Senator Tim Kaine, for being on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Yeah, really glad to be
Thanks
with you
so
guys.
Thanks so much, Tim.
Thanks for what you do.
Thank you.
Can the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a bitter home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
Thank you, Senator Tim Kaine.
Oh, yeah.
And how about that? We got him to play a little song.
He always has a bag of harmonicas right there in his office. So he just went over to the shelf and like pulled it down and put them out there on the table and just played. It was really a beautiful thing.
Now, harmonicas are tuned differently, right? There's
different
harmonicas
keys.
At different keys. So it
That's
makes
right.
sense to have a collection
you need a
of
bunch
them, right?
of them. Yeah, depending on, you know, what you're going to do. So yeah, he has them right there, which was pretty awesome. And his assistant and the staff was really nice to us too, and probably gave us a few more minutes than we, you know, I think we originally had something like 11:05 to 11:20 or something.
Yeah,
like that's how busy the guy is.
He was just coming off of like a vote. I remember that they were like, he's going to be 5 minutes late because he has to. There's a floor vote or something, and we were like, okay, sure.
Yeah,
I don't know what it was about. It was probably about school buses having to stop at a railroad. Isn't that what they say?
Something
and
like
I'm
that.
Just a bill.
Uh-huh. Right? I think that's right.
Railroad tracks. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He walked into the room and said, I know this is going to be my toughest interview all day. But he was a really personable guy. Super nice. Kind of like us, but more powerful and successful and important.
So we've had four artists now actually perform on our podcast, and Tim Kaine being the fourth.
Right. That's right.
Perform a little song. And he does play around the state time to time.
He does,
plays with you know, various bands, bluegrass bands, I think, and a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, too, I think he managed, said at one point he played with a bluegrass band in Richmond called the Cary Street Ramblers that did a lot of old-timey stuff, so that was cool.
Yeah. So great. So
Thank you, sir.
Who knew,
right? I know. Yeah, it was just amazing that it actually happened. It was pretty surreal, but it was really great. Yeah. And a good friend of the show, Bill Horn, came along and took some video and photos, so we'll have all that stuff for you.
Going to have some video clips up on our social media accounts. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Suburbs Pod, so check that out there. Maybe we'll have something longer on the website. It depends on intern Sam and if he gets on the ball.
He's working hard.
No, he is. He's doing great. Yeah. So there you go. All right. So I don't know what else to say. That was just really fun.
It really was
fun. It was really different, and I'm glad that we could make that work out. And like you said, thanks to the folks who worked there in the senator's office. It was
great.
And also, Senator Kaine, if you ever want to come on again,
got
there's
an
a lot
open
more
invitation,
could,
buddy.
A lot more we can talk about.
That's right.
Too.
I think so, too. Yeah.
All right. So with that, if you are new to the show, and if this is the first time you've listened to Rock in the Suburbs, and if you wanted to hear the interview with Senator Kaine, please check us out.
There's
a lot of other, a lot of other episodes. You can go to Apple Podcasts or Google Play or Spotify or any of the other big podcast platforms. Just scroll through. There's a whole selection of episodes.
It's like thousands.
Got to be something that will appeal to you, we think. And, you know, and it's made in America.
Mm-hmm.
So that's,
it is. That's,
you know,
true. Right here.
You're supporting.
Right. We're not involved in any kind of trade war or anything like that.
It's all right here.
Now, the only thing I think we're still waiting on for the senator, and hopefully he's listening back, if you could get us in touch with the guy who used to be president, like a little earlier, who's kind of retired and not doing anything now, he'd be cool to have on.
I understand he's really into music
well. I heard he is. Yeah.
And like you said, he's probably got some time in his hands,
I don't think
right?
he's doing much, playing golf and just kind of hanging out. Yeah. So why not?
Senator,
Rock the Suburbs.
You got to know him.
Yeah.
I think
that much
your paths have crossed, I'm sure.
Be a cool hookup.
Also, if anybody wants to comment on this or any of our other episodes, we will take your feedback. Email rock@suburbspod.com or call and leave
us.
A message, 612-440-1984. Do that. Please do not troll us. We are not into that sort of thing.
So don't subtweet
us. We will
us.
Block you.
Yeah, that's right. Let's not get political here, folks.
So there you go. And we got the weekend off, so you can listen to this multiple times.
That's right.
And then we'll come back on Monday with some more episodes,
right? Sounds great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for what you do.